¡Órale! Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFB podcast. We're coming at you on May 7th. It's our last dance, el último baile of our first week of our podcast. We appreciate you joining our Familia community, and we hope you share our show with anyone who likes fantasy football or wants to hear three primos have fun at one another's expense. Since we mentioned the last dance, we thought it would be good to get into a discussion on that ESPN commentary because, heck, everybody else is doing it.
There you go.
So because of the times we're in, that seems to be the only thing that people are talking about right now in the sports world. So, Hector, I know you were always a big NBA fan and a pretty good ball player back at St. Genevieve. What are your impressions of the show so far?
I'm digging it. I'm midway through episode 4, going through Phil Jackson, Zen stuff, Dennis Rodman, and you know their connection there, the ability of Phil Jackson to actually tame the beast of Dennis Rodman. So really cool. I mean, obviously, you know, all those parts, it's kind of interesting. And I kind of agree with what Rodman said in the episode, is that if he wasn't there, I don't know if they would have won those titles. I mean, they went with Utah. They Utah took them to 7 games. You know, they almost won if.
Or was it six?
When Jordan beat him on that buzzer beater?
Yep, both times are 6.
Okay. But still, I mean, for a team to be at that dominant, you know, you would have thought that they would just blow everybody out, you know, but, it would seem that way. So I think they needed Rodman. Rodman was an integral piece of that team. But the great thing is that all the Bulls teams, you know, you put all the pieces together. You had Paxton, you had Cartwright, you had Buechler, you had all those guys. Everything just came together. And those guys, Jordan being the main piece, growing up in the 90s, you know, I was in high school and just Jordan was an idol. I mean, I had the Jordan, I had the shoes, I had the jerseys, I had the, you know, the Bulls championship T-shirts. And, you know, Jordan was the man. So, you know, anybody that says, you know, LeBron or Magic or whatever, you know, for me,
Kobe,
you know, I know it's generational. Kobe, too. I know it's generational. But for me, those years growing up, Jordan's the man. And for me, Jordan's always going to be the best ever.
And, George, you're watching it or?
No, I've watched all of them. And, you know, it's funny. I watch it a little bit with a grain of salt. I never just kind of discounted Jordan's excellence. I always felt like when it came to that greatest of all time discussion, Magic needed to be more in that, because I always felt like if Magic scored 6 points, the Lakers could still win a game. And because he would get 20 assists and 15 rebounds or something like that and still dominate the game. If Jordan got held to 6 points, the Bulls would get blown out by 20. But, you know, as far as this is concerned, I love the insight that we're getting. Yep. I mean, love the fact, yep. I mean, the whole feud with Isaiah Thomas to me, that's been very compelling.
I wasn't aware. You know, everyone talks about, oh, Jordan's the reason Jordan had final say on who was on the team. It never made sense to me to think that one guy on a team of Hall of Famers, on a team of superstars, that somehow Michael Jordan would be able to have the final say. And yeah, it did come out that, you know, Bird didn't want him on the team and Magic didn't want him on the team because, you know, if you think back to it, the Pistons had really, you know, they beat up on the Lakers. They beat up on the Celtics. So yeah, I'm sure there was animosity against Isaiah. So I know it wasn't just Jordan who also got beat up by the Pistons. So yeah, it's easy to see if Jordan's on board and Bird's on board and Magic's on board and none of those guys want Isaiah to be on the team, for sure. It's a collective agreement that yes, if those guys don't want Isaiah on the team, Isaiah's not going to be on the team.
And it's interesting that it's one of those things where, you know, you're looking at this thing and it's like egos are huge. And these are the biggest egos in all of the NBA, the greatest of the greats. I mean, I think there were 10 Hall of Famers who played on that dream team.
Yeah.
Rod Thorne, who was the guy who picked the team, I think it sounded like he preemptively uninvited or made sure not to invite Isaiah because he didn't want it to be easy for Jordan to say no or anybody else to say no. Because,
right. That's.
And that's the way it is in pro sports. Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, that's enough basketball. Let's talk G. Smith.
Oh, cheese man. Hey, well, you know what? Heck, you found that crazy thing today, that crazy note today, or that article about the Patriots possibly tanking for Trevor. Do you guys think there's anything to that? Ricky, think there's anything to that?
Why would Brady found a diamond in the rough and Brady, or Belichick found a diamond in the rough and Brady deep in the draft? So why would he tank a whole season just to pick someone in the first round that's going to change it? Nah, he'll find someone in the third, the fourth round that's going to fit his scheme perfectly. So, no. Belichick's all about winning. He cheats to win. There's no way he tank. Even though tanking's cheating to win in another way, so it wouldn't surprise me. But
I see it this way. I see it as Belichick, he was lucky, and he was able to get Tom Brady for a long career. And if he wants to do that again, if he's comfortable with the way that played out and he wants to try to do that again, who better than with Trevor Lawrence? I mean, the guy's built like a tank. I can easily see him having a long career. He's got legs. He's agile. He can move around in the pocket and avoid some injuries there. So if anybody, why not Belichick go after him? Why not Belichick? If he's tried everything else, skirting the rules, trying to win games, why not in the long term, in the name of winning, in the name of long-term success, why not go for it? This one season tank, get Trevor Lawrence and start another Patriots dynasty. Why not?
Well, the interesting thing is to look at this is Belichick is 68. And basically, it's 2 years of not being very good and not being in the Super Bowl conversation, because you gotta lose and go like 1-15 or 2-14 or 3-13 to get the number one pick. Because everybody's all the experts are saying that Trevor Lawrence is going to be the number one, and he is a stud. He is a stud.
Yeah.
The other thing I look at, and I keep going back to 2008 when Brady knocked and blew out his knee. And then they played with Matt Castle, who wasn't even a quarterback at USC. He was a tight end because he was playing behind Carson. I think it was Carson Palmer and Matt Leinart all his years. So he went and they went 11-5 with Matt Castle as their quarterback and almost went to the playoffs. So I don't think that it's in his blood to tank. I don't think he's going to try.
It's not going to happen, guys. Let's talk about something that actually did happen. Like Frank Gore signing with the Jets,
the ageless wonder.
And the Jets is where running backs go to die anyways, right?
Didn't Frank Gore just turn 50? Is that what I just heard?
He's older than me.
And you know what? He's only 4 years older than me, but I guess that's old in NFL. He's 37, going into his 16th season. So he's got 15,347 yards, third all-time.
Wow.
So he played for Miami, or he played in Miami in 2018 with Adam Gase. So now he's going to be back with him. But he is going to be behind Le'Veon Bell, so is he even worth rostering?
Gore will probably get, he'll get some carries. He'll probably be a change-up guy, maybe give Bell a day off. I mean, a playoff, but I don't know. I don't know how much he plays. It's a great story. I mean, heck, he takes care of himself.
He does.
He's legendary at how he takes care of himself. So I say keep playing until they take the jersey off of you.
No, sure. I think it's funny because what you've just said right now, it almost sounds like a broken record, because every year, I think for the past 5 or 6 years, it's like, oh, Gore's got one more year. He's got one more year. He'll be a bench stash. You know, he might get some play, might get some run this year. And then he comes out and he does something great. So, as much as it sounds like that should be the story again, the guy, like you said, he's the ageless wonder. I don't know. He's like a vampire or something. The guy just, he won't retire. He's got legs. I think he still goes on for another season, has a decent year. From a fantasy standpoint, I'm not sure what he can really do, if he's on your roster. But I think he'll have a decent year, just straight up NFL stats.
Yeah, he's a handcuff. That's all he is for Bell. And I mean, Bell gets dinged up, and I had Bell last year, and he drove me nuts. And he was dinged up here and there. So Maybe he gets some play in there. I mean, obviously the Jets really worked on their offensive line, so maybe there'll be more opportunities. But yeah, I agree. He's a more fun story. I'd love to see him play till. I'd love to see him play running back till 40. I think that's even more impressive than Brady playing till 42 or Breeze playing till 40. So
Brady plays till 44, Gore at 40, and now you have yourself a story.
Yes, exactly. Wow.
They play together on the bus. Yeah. their retirement community of the NFL, Tampa Bay.
Or maybe they do a senior tour.
A senior tour.
Well, speaking of seniors, what about Beast Mode? Possibly a little Beast Mode. Another return up to the Pacific Northwest. Did you guys hear about that?
I did not hear about this.
He is way too lazy to play for this season. Way too lazy. I doubt he's been keeping up. Have you guys seen the video on YouTube where he's handing out masks and everything to people in the streets in Seattle? No. And he's just on like a golf cart or something. He's like on something like that. So he's a man of the people. He loves Seattle. So I wouldn't doubt he'd want to play for them. Whether or not he's going to be a big impact, I mean, he's probably not. He's only there to make money and get his face out there because honestly, he loves being around people.
Well, he has an insurance policy. I mean, Carson and Penny are both coming off of pretty serious injuries. Yep. I mean, Penny blew out his knee in December, so I don't think he's going to be ready at the beginning of the season. I mean, it'll be a good and an ACL is usually a year, but a lot of times guys can come back in 10 months, but that's October. And Carson, the hip, I think we've talked about that. That the hip is not something to be played around with, especially when you're a running back. So maybe he's a good insurance policy. That could be one to kind of keep an eye on during training camp.
I'd rather go to Jake from State Farm. There's no way. There's no way I'd want Marshawn Lynch is mine. It's his retirement tour. He went to Oakland. He got to say hi and bye there. So did the whole team, right?
He went to Cal, right? He went to Cal. That's his. Yep.
So now he's in Seattle,
Bay Area, the Pacific Northwest. Yeah.
Goodbye, 12th man. So.
He's so beloved. He's so beloved there. He's never gonna have to buy a beer ever.
Everyone just feels bad. He didn't get that carry in the Super Bowl, so they're just like, "Oh man, I feel bad for you, bro. Like, oh, let me get you a beer."
I don't think that'll ever be forgotten. That will never be forgotten.
Worst call maybe in Super Bowl history.
Oh well, yeah. Pete Carroll still gets here. So,
I don't feel any pity for Pete Carroll. He was a USC coach. USC. When I saw it happen, I was all like, I mean, it was bittersweet because I hate seeing the Patriots win too.
There you go.
So.
I know exactly. Well, you know, let's look at some guys who are going to be new to teams this year. You know, some guys were on the Patriots and that we're talking about were on the Patriots in Seattle, but you know, rookie wide receivers, it's kind of a mixed bag. I mean, you know, first round picks last year, you had Marquise Hollywood Brown and N'Keal Harry go in the first round. Brown was good, 46 catches, 584 yards, 7 touchdowns. He had his moments. He battled some leg injuries there. N'Keal Harry, he was basically a ghost. So he was not anywhere around the map. But you know, then you look at the second and third rounders, Deebo Samuel, AJ Brown, DK Metcalf. Those guys are going to be impact receivers this year. And yep. But mixed in with those guys, you had a Mecole Hardman, JJ Arcega-Whiteside. We got the Spaniard.
There you go.
Chris Campbell and Andy Isabella. I mean, those guys, you don't know if they're going to take a step forward. So, you know, what do you guys think on drafting rookie wide receivers?
I think honestly, it's the hot thing to do right now because they're a lot faster right now. They can jump a lot higher. So when they're coming in, these guys being in the bright lights of college, they're NFL ready and they're ready to hit the ground running. Unlike running backs, they're going to get hit daily. These wide receivers, they're used to what they're going to be getting daily. So I draft high on it. I drafted, I believe.
No, I look at some of them like Deebo Samuel, especially Samuel, AJ Brown, DK Metcalf. I had on my team last year Deebo Samuel, kind of mid-year, AJ Brown towards the end of the year. I lucked out because that's when he kind of started blowing up.
Oh yeah.
So for me especially, I had experience. Debo Samuel, mid season, he wasn't really doing much for me, kind of inconsistent. So I dropped him. I picked up AJ Brown later. So you know what that told me, you know, just looking at those two guys specifically, Debo Samuel, AJ Brown, even DK Metcalf, is you're seeing rookies come in, learn the system. It's going to take them a little bit of time, a few weeks to get acclimated, and then if they're going to blow up, it's going to happen towards the end of the season. So yeah, you can definitely look at these rookie wide receivers coming through. Definitely pick up one or two as you know late rounders. Keep them on your bench because every year there's a couple that blow up and do something great for you. That's how I won my championship back in 2014. Odell Beckham Jr., the gentleman named OBJ, came through. He was actually dropped in our league. I picked him up on waivers in week four. And he ended up helping me win my championship back in 2014. So yeah, rookies that come in and yeah, you never know, but every year there's a couple that really do something special. And so, you know, maybe try your luck and maybe try to grab one or two.
Yeah, it's definitely playing the lotto with those guys, and they could be, you know, they could blow up for you. And sometimes those guys are good to have on your bench, you know, instead of that handcuff running back. You can actually look at the you kind of ride that guy, maybe play stream him here and there on the good matchup and hope that he's going to blow up at the end of the season. So, you know, there are definitely guys that are there. Some of these guys that we're going to talk about here, there are going to be some of them that are going to blow up, and some of them are going to disappoint, you know, just like a N'Keal Harry did last year.
They always do. They always do.
Yeah. It's so funny. And there were so many
times.
Yep.
Oh yeah. And you know, sometimes it's the complexity of the offense, and you just never know what's gonna happen. So, you know, with this year's class, I mean, it was amazing. Six guys taken in the first round. I mean, it's incredible. And I don't think there was anybody more impressive, at least from a speed standpoint, than Henry Ruggs going number 12 overall to the Raiders. Oh my goodness, yes. that's you know, playing in that new Death Star Stadium, that dude is gonna be fast. And it's, you know, the Raiders are always famous, you know, from the Al Davis days going back.
He's smiling from wherever he is right now.
Yeah. Yeah, from wherever. We don't know which direction he went, but
depends who you ask.
I'm convinced he came into a dream of his son's one of his son's dreams and been like, draft rugs.
definite.
But what do you guys think? What do you guys think? Are you guys got? Because he got so picked so high, and the Raiders love to throw the ball. You guys got him on your radar?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
I don't see why you wouldn't. With Hunter Renfro and Tyrell Williams against you, Ruggs is going to go crazy over there. The only thing is, does he have a quarterback that's going to be able to reach him? I don't think so. I don't believe in Derek Carr anymore. He won me a championship one year on a double donut Christmas where Alshon Jeffrey got zero.
Crabtree got zero. Yes.
But I just happen to have Derek Carr. But other than that, Derek Carr is not that great. So hopefully Ruggs can do something, because Derek Carr with Amari Cooper was a lot better quarterback than without. So if Ruggs can kind of fill that void, I don't know, but at least Ruggs is going to have a chance, right? And I think that's kind of the biggest question right now is, are they going to get the volume? And I think definitely.
Yeah. And you know what, speed plays when you're inside a dome playing on the fast turf, 4.27 in the 40. I mean, he might get 10 touchdowns just, go for the bomb. You know, there were so many comparisons to Tyreek Hill. I kind of look at, I went back and looked back at Tyreek Hill's rookie stats, 61 receptions, just under 600 yards, 6 TDs, kind of pedestrian. He blew up in his second year. So I think Ruggs is definitely got to keep an eye on, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was just, you know, he had a good, a decent season, and then he's more of a 2021 guy.
Yeah, I'm one of those that does have faith in Derek Carr. You know, I'll disagree with you a little bit on that one, Rick. I think having John Gruden as head coach, having Derek Carr, having been around him for at least a couple of years now, maybe gain a little bit of that confidence back. I know, obviously, you know, ask anyone, they'll probably say it. Derek Carr definitely was shook up after that leg injury, and he's definitely hearing footsteps in the pocket. He's you know he's hearing footsteps in the pocket there. So that's had a big impact on him. And I'm just waiting for Gruden to work with him and get back inside his head and to get him right again. I think Derek Carr can get right again. And I think if he does, if Gruden works with him, gets him that confidence back, I see the Raider offense blowing up and I see Ruggs having a big season for sure.
Yeah, well, you know, and speaking of the AFC West, Jerry Jeudy going to the Broncos. Oh, my God. I mean, isn't that
great? Great wide receiver.
Ooh, my goodness. Ay, mijo, this is going to be a good one. Him and Cortland Sutton on opposite ends of the field. My goodness, that's just
reminiscent of Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders back in the day.
Oh, yeah, when Peyton Manning was just throwing the ball all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Drew Lock, is he going to be, you know, I don't know if he's Peyton Manning 2.0, but he definitely has the keys to a really, really fancy sports car. And this is going to be a good offense. Could be a good offense.
And honestly, I think he has the keys to wreck it as well. I don't think they're going to have a huge leash on him. He's got to go against the Chiefs. The Chargers have an incredible secondary. So, and then you got to go against the Raiders as well, who also have a lot of weapons. So I think they're fourth in that division. So I think Jeudy easily has a chance to excel in that format. And they're going to go buck crazy and they're going to be doing garbage time.
Exactly.
But yeah.
I was just going to say the same thing. A lot of coming back from big deficits. I think Judy's going to get a lot of balls thrown his way. And yeah, I definitely think he's got some good fantasy potential there.
It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be fun. It's going to be track meets. I mean, can you imagine that anybody trying to keep up with Kansas City? I mean, John Elway even said that if you can't beat them, join them. They are trying to keep up with Kansas City. And the thing that was interesting, I heard an interview with him where he talked so glowingly about Drew Lock. And I'm kind of like, you know what? You know, John Elway played quarterback as well as anybody, you know, one of the all-time greats. So I kind of wonder, does he feel like, is that him having complete faith in Drew Lock that he's going to take the step up in his second year? So I'm excited about this offense. I'm pumped about this offense. I can't wait to see the shootouts that are going to be happening in the AFC West. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
You know, well, speaking of shootouts, gosh, you know, the Cowboys got themselves, you know, the guy who a lot of people thought was the number one receiver. I mean, I know Jeudy and Ruggs, but CeeDee Lamb. Oh, my goodness. It's going to be one. I know in our last show, there were some question marks about these guys, but CeeDee Lamb, it was just phenomenal. Just phenomenal. He was not a lamb. He was a ram.
Right.
So not the LA kind, but
how does he fall to 17 though? You know, on so many, you know, so many mock drafts, people had him on, you know, top two, maybe even top three receivers. And he goes here. Well, yeah, he goes three, but I saw him on a lot of mock drafts, you know, top two, even number, like you said, number one overall. So how does he drop to number three? This guy's a stud.
Just didn't need him. They just didn't need him. The Cowboys didn't necessarily need him, but I mean, why not get the explosive player that he is? You know what I mean?
Right.
Did you guys, I just want to bring up a video they had when he got drafted. When he got drafted, he's on the phone and then his girlfriend grabbed the phone from his lap. He just pulled it back from her.
That was a good one. That was just like quickest hands ever. All right there.
Right there. I'm sold.
$16 million. Yeah, exactly. He's going to snatch the ball out of it. He's going to, like, he took his phone. He's going to snatch the ball out of the air away from the DB and take off for the thing that's going to help him next year is the fact that he doesn't he's not going to get the number one DB on the other side. So that's going to be very interesting. And apparently they're going to talk. There's a lot of talk of him playing in the slot. So definitely you're getting, you know, as the number three receiver, you're getting the nickel DBs. So he might, I'm kind of looking at him kind of like, remember Calvin Ridley a couple years ago, he had 10 touchdowns as a rookie. I think that's very much a possibility for CeeDee Lamb. I mean, he's big. He's, you know, he's physical. I don't know if he's a DeAndre Hopkins. Some people throw around that comp, but I think he's going to be very, very much an interesting player. I think he's going to have, he's a guy to keep an eye on, that I'm keeping an eye on for my draft.
I disagree, but that's mainly because Michael Gallup mainly hugely disappointed me last season, and I just think the Cowboys got way too many receivers, way too many hands that want the ball. And honestly, with their whole quarterback situation, Dalton actually thinks he has a good chance of playing. I just don't see him coming out this year and being worthy of being on anyone's roster.
Yeah, he's dreaming. Dak's going to play all 16, and Dalton's
barring injury.
Yeah, Dalton's going to collect the easiest $3 million of his life. So, but yeah, CeeDee Lamb that could still be a great offense. And plus, their defense, their DBs aren't that good anyway, so they could be in a lot of shootouts. One of the teams they could be getting in the shootouts is the Eagles. They went at 21 and grabbed Jalen Reagor. And there was some talk one of the reasons that the Cowboys took CeeDee Lamb at 17 is they didn't want him falling to the Eagles at 21. So
that's a good point.
Definitely a burner. Definitely another guy who's got so many skills and he's got an open opportunity. Who's excited about this guy?
I like Reagor for sure. And then so the Eagles have just lost Aguilar. And so they have DeSean Jackson, who was hurt, half the season last year. Jeffrey, everyone talks about his soft tissue. We've talked about Alshon Jeffrey's soft tissue injuries, I think, every year for the last 6 years, So
oh, God.
He's going to go down. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when for Alshon Jeffrey. DeSean Jackson's got a lot of miles on him, so he likely won't last an entire season. Jalen Reagor's a great pick. I think he's going to end up being probably the top receiver, in my opinion. Alshon's not going to last. DeSean's not going to last. Jalen Reagor will probably end up rising to the top on the Eagles offense, so I think he's a good sneak pick for sure.
Yeah, with his speed, toughness, his versatility, he's going to overtake Alshon easily. Alshon's a little creaky. He's going to fall down. DeSean Jackson's retired already. So,
essentially.
It's his wide receiving core to take over. If right. Carson Wentz can keep healthy, this guy's fast enough to take advantage of Carson Wentz's arm.
Yeah, especially when you got those two tight ends who are kind of taking up the middle of the field, I think they're going to take a lot of shots with Reagor, and I think he's a great shot for someone to take maybe as like a second or third receiver, maybe a good flex play there in the middle rounds. After,
so would you take Reagor over CC or CD Lamb?
I just might. I think I would.
Yeah, I would.
I think I would.
I am everything against the Cowboys, and this.
That's the one thing. That's the one thing that we'll always get from Rick is that homer mentality. It's just always about the best fantasy pick. Sometimes it's just about what's best for me and my Chargers.
Hey, sometimes your heart has to do some picks. Okay.
There you go. Hey, when it's a coin toss, you lean towards the home team for sure.
My heart was with McCaffrey, and I just really wanted him to follow me last year, and he did.
Don't remind me. That was my coin toss that went to Alvin Kamara and did not go to Christian McCaffrey. And then, of course, he gets his rookie. He gets his record season. So, congratulations to you again, Primo.
Thank you.
Well, there's another guy who's got a lot of love for him is Justin Jefferson.
Yeah,
I love watching him, especially in the semifinal and the championship game. Big guy. He's fast, 4.43 in the 40. He had 111 receptions last year. And playing a high powered offense. I mean, he could actually slide into that number two Stephon Diggs left behind. This guy could be good. What do you guys think?
I want him. I want him real bad. So, and I wish you guys weren't in my league because now you know that. But the guy's going to be with Thielen.
As we're recording, I'm taking notes, Rick.
He's already the third in line to get receptions. And if you add Dalvin Cook, he's fourth in line to get receptions. And this guy is mad talented. This guy also has a chip on his shoulder. He's already mad that he wasn't drafted first overall.
Yep.
So, and he's voiced his opinion. So I would love to have him because I think Thielen's going to take a lot of the pressure off of him. And yeah, he's going to be able to do what Diggs couldn't. So hopefully. But Diggs did a lot there. This guy can easily slide right in and take that spot.
Yeah, he's played on the big stage. He's had Joe Burrow throwing him darts all season long. The guy was amazing. Again, I don't think we need to talk about LSU's season any more than we already have. But you know, phenomenal, you know, just an amazing season at LSU. So Justin Jefferson, yeah, he's definitely going to easily, you know, take over the spot where Stephon Diggs, that Stephon left empty. He's going to get in there. He's going to definitely make a lot of catches, get a lot of balls thrown his way. He's going to do well from a fantasy standpoint. I like him a lot.
Chris Sims is one of my favorite talent evaluators out there, and he was just gushing about Jefferson. And I look at him and I think, man, this guy's got a great opportunity. Thielen is going to get the number one DB on the other side.
Yep.
And that's just going to open up so many balls for him. I think by the end of the season, he's going to be the number two option, and I think he's going to have some blow up games, especially in that offense.
Oh, definitely.
Kirk Cousins is so accurate and he's so good. Yep. You know, I think he's underrated good. And I think Jefferson is a guy who, I mean, he's a big play guy. I think he's going to be good. I mean, another guy I think that could sneak in just kind of like Calvin Ridley did a couple years ago. So, very exciting player, very exciting player. Again, I love fast guys who are playing on turf, and I think he's going to be good. You know, another fast guy, you know, going to the Niners, Brandon Ayuk, interesting guy coming off of core surgery. So who knows if that's the thing to keep an eye on during the season, but man, crazy talented. Kyle Shanahan, I saw the other day, said that, he was his number two receiver on his board after CeeDee Lamb. And Kyle Shanahan, I know we've talked about his play calling, but the guy does build an offense. Another guy who could be coming in with opposite another receiver. Deebo Samuel blew up last year. Could Ayuk be another guy who comes in and does well?
I don't know. I think it's great to have someone explosive again, but they already have that. And I don't know. I think right now what they need is someone who's dominant, someone who's going to jump over guys, really do some pushing in there and be explosive in that manner, not necessarily someone who can be a good punt returner or kick returner. But hey, maybe that's where they put Ayuk. I don't know if it's what Jimmy G needs to get over the hump. I guess they figured, oh, because we lost to KC and KC's more explosive. But even KC has big guys. The big guys make sure that Hill can still be going around and everything because the other guys can block. They're just going to put themselves in a bad spot. And I don't think Ayuk is, unless your fantasy league has a lot of money on special teams and you make points when your guy returns it, I don't think Ayuk is worthy of getting.
Agreed. I see George Kittle getting, you know, just tons of work again next year. I think, you know, between him and Deebo Samuel, I think that's the majority of the passing game. I think Ayuk's just a distant third in that offense. I don't really put too much fantasy value on him.
He's good, but he's just not in the right format.
Right.
And they're a primarily running team. So that's the thing to keep in mind.
Right. So it's already slim pickings as far as from the passing game. If it is, you know, they're dominant running. So yeah, even fewer opportunities for Ayuk for sure.
Another guy to keep in mind there is a guy who was a top draft pick last year, Jalen Hurd. Peter King in his column last week said that Jalen Hurd was the best player he saw in the 49ers camp from the offensive side of the ball. But he hurt his back and missed the entire season. So if he's healthy, he's a guy who could be a guy to keep an eye on. So again, there's going to be a lot of competition for balls, and maybe there's not going to be a lot of balls out there because they're running Raheem Mostert and everybody else up and down the field.
We already watched it last season with Kyle Shanahan. You know, he shut down Jimmy G for, you know, chunks of time where they just run happy. So, and that could happen.
Have Coleman and McKinnon. Mm-hmm.
That's right. They still have those guys.
They don't have to throw to the outside just yet. It's great that they're going to be fast and do that, but their defense is strong. Their core is strong. They don't need these loose wide receivers.
Right.
So yeah, Ayuk is a guy who to keep in mind. He could be a guy who is a player for you that could be a waiver wire pick if guys get injured and if he gets hot. You never know. You never know. Yep. I think one guy we're all pretty excited about is T. Higgins.
Right? How did he go in the second round?
How did unbelievable. He? I don't get number 33. I just don't get it. One of the top offenses in college for the last couple of years to go that low. It's to me, I don't get it. I've been a fan of T. Higgins for a couple of years now, watching him in the championship games. So, yeah, I see him transitioning over to the pro game just very easily. I see watching him play in college at Clemson. It just seemed like the game of football just seems very easy for him. It just seems,
oh yeah,
he's explosive. He's great hands. I'm excited about him. Like you said, Rick, you know, you're listening to my excitement about T. Higgins. I think we're all excited about him. So it won't be a secret if any of us tries to pick him up early.
And it's really exciting because for T. Higgins himself, because he grew up in Tennessee, he's a Bengals fan, and he's also an AJ Green fan. So if AJ Green can somehow stay on the field somehow, even as a coach, T. Higgins has a bright future ahead of him. He's still got a lot of people ahead of him, which is, this would have been a surprising pick had T. Higgins not been T. Higgins, because they already have Ross, they already have Tyler Boyd, they already have AJ Green. But because it's T. Higgins, why not? The team can definitely give Joe Burrow a hell of a lot of weapons. So this is going to be an exciting team to watch. I mean, I hope their defense is horrible so that we could see Burrow just throw his arm out.
Well, they ended up going with a lot of offensive pieces this year, so I would think that the defense is going to be horrible, so they're going to be in some shootouts. It's you know, one of the things that I thought was interesting is his measurements are eerily similar to AJ Green. So if he has any kind of career like AJ Green or immediate impact, that'll be special. And he'll be a guy that we find, you know, at some point middle rounds, or maybe, you know, somewhere around the 7th, 8th round as your flex. Or maybe your first backup. Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, and I know a lot of folks talk about, you know, whenever a quarterback comes out of college and he's got a receiver from the same team, you know, there's a connection there. I think it's interesting. Maybe it's something just to keep an eye on. You have T. Higgins who went to Clemson, and you have Joe Burrow at LSU. They played each other in the championship game.
Yeah.
So there's a connection there. You know what I mean? There's a camaraderie there. There's a connection there that we did that together. There's something that we did together. And I just wonder if there's kind of an extra little connection now between Joe Burrow and T. Higgins going to the pro game, or where you might see Joe Burrow throwing to T. Higgins a little bit more than you may see otherwise. So we'll have to keep an eye on that.
You never know. I mean, it goes back all the way to Dwight Clark and Joe Montana.
Yep.
You know, they were drafted in the same class. You never know. And always one of those things that Joe Burrow will always hold it over T. Higgins that they beat him in the championship game. So
of course.
It'll be like, I'll make it up to you by throwing you another touchdown.
There it is. And if anyone knows how fast T. Higgins is and what he can do, that's Joe Burrow. So, you know, he saw him, you know, up close and personal. So he knows what the guy can do. I can see a lot of balls going T. Higgins' way this year.
Ricky, your guy Philip Rivers got himself a new toy in on the very next pick with Michael Pittman. What are you thinking about that pick? He could be interesting.
He is very interesting because the whole thing about Pittman, I know he's a Trojan, but he's very aggressive with his play. He uses his hands a lot, he pushes a lot, and that's something that the Colts really don't have. They have like a fancy wide receiver core that's just supposed to go out there, catch the ball, and make their slide. So I think this is definitely something they need to start putting some fire under everybody, because ever since, you know, Andrew Luck had to leave or retired, they've been kind of out of gas, just no momentum. So I hope Michael Pittman can just hit someone in the jaw and get the rest of the team fired up. And honestly, Philip Rivers has a lot of passion too. So I think that's kind of what the Colts were trying to get this year.
And he's a Valley guy, Taft High School, just down the street from my house.
Wow, so Woodland Hills.
Right there.
I work down the street from Taft.
Right there. So it's, I mean, that's a guy to root for. I mean, I think he's just different enough from T.Y. Hilton that you know, T.Y. Hilton's very much a speed, very much a burner. And Pittman is going to be that. I think he's going to be that possession receiver. He's got big targets, 6'4", 223. He's really good. He's really good at, you know, fighting off DBs. I think this could be a very interesting pick. I mean, you know, and he's a guy who gets a lot of volume. He got 100 receptions last year, and there were only four guys in the NCAA who did that last year. So very interesting player. He could be good. Plus, you know, one of the things I always learned, when a guy has good bloodlines, You know, it's true for pro athletes. It's true for sports.
Oh, sure.
I mean, guy has good bloodlines. And his dad was an NFL running back for many years, so you know he's going to be a tough guy.
Sure.
So that's going to be that's going to be a good that could be a good pick. I think he could be a guy who really makes an impact this year.
No, I agree. I think, you know, one thing about Pittman is, you know, with USC, so many injuries at the QB position, we really didn't get to see what he was really capable of. So that might be a good sneaky pick. Maybe he's a lot better than what we saw because we didn't really get to see what he had to offer during the season. So, you know, you never know. Like you said, bloodline, you may want to lean towards him, maybe a late flyer pick, maybe a good bench stash for you.
And we got the next guy, Laviska Shenault. What a name. What a name. Gotta love that name. I thought he was like Eastern European when I thought. But big guy. 6'1", 227, and he's a burner. And you know, he's got a true number one receiver, DJ Chark, on the other side. You know, what do you think about this guy? He could be another interesting guy.
I think he's interesting because he looks like he's built to be a wide receiver. He's huge and he's got the hands. But they're already busy with DJ Chark, D.D. Westbrook, Chris Conley. They just don't have room for this guy. And, I mean, they barely know who's going to be the QB. Yeah, they got Minshew. But, I mean, there's no room for this guy. I think if he can learn, maybe in 2 or 3 years, this will look like a lot better pick than it is right now. But, I mean, the guy's injury prone. So I think that's why you see him on a team with a lot of wide receivers, because he's insurance for them.
Sure. That's true. He's another guy. He's coming back from core surgery. So another guy to keep an eye on that. You know, I love physical specimens. You know, DK Metcalf was pretty incredible last year. Yep. So I don't know. I'm not going to say he's going to be that guy. But I think we got to keep him in mind. The Jaguars are also going to be in some shootouts next year. They're kind of a rebuilding team. There's talk of tanking for Tua tanking for Trevor.
Yeah.
We're still everyone's thinking about tanking. That. Yeah. Everyone's tanking. I agree. He's got a lot of competition, but you never know. Maybe if he gets a good mustache like Gardner Minshew, then maybe he'll get.
No, size matters. You know, size definitely matters. I mean, DK Metcalf. You know, I remember studying up on him last year going into the fantasy draft, and it was like, you know, the guy's a monster, but. So, you know, all that was put to bed, you know, when he went out in the field and he performed, you know, because his size, he's able to out jump guys. He's able to, you know, create space. So, you know, anytime you have a guy like that, that's built just like a tank, and it's just kind of a little bit bigger than everybody else that's out there, a lot bigger than the DBs that are out there. It's definitely worth looking at for sure.
Heck, when you kept saying monster butt, I thought, wow, I think I need to name a fantasy football team with that. So
there you go. Hey, the fantasy football names run the whole spectrum. you got it all out there.
Well, you know, we were talking about weapons. KJ Hamler, another guy from the Broncos, they picked him in the second round, back-to-back receivers. Again, I mean, he's a little guy, 5'9", 178. But again, I mean, he's another burner out there. I mean, could we be talking about a third relevant receiver with the Broncos?
No, there's no way. it's great to see that they got this much spirit in Drew Lock, but I think Elway is just infatuated with the QB situation there. He just wants to give the guy as many presents as he possibly can. But who knows? They might use him because he's so fast and so quick. They might just use him for special teams, which, hey, you already got your offenses quick enough. Put this guy on special teams. So, yeah, he's definitely going to be irrelevant this coming season for us, but definitely relevant if you got a team that needs special teams points.
Oh, it's a good stash. I think definitely. You look at players like, I mean, look at his number. He's 5'9", 178. So, you know, people might have thought, well, you know, the guy's kind of short. But then you look at guys like Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett was the top receiver, you know, over there on the Seahawks. You know, he's been that for a while now. You know, ever since Doug Baldwin went out, you've got Tyler Lockett just taking over. Everyone said he was too short, but the guy's just been lighting up the league, just putting up mad fantasy points. So I don't have a problem with, you know, the guy's size at 5'9", 178. And I'm pretty sure that's one of the reasons that he dropped so low. So, but I would not be surprised if KJ Hamler put up some big numbers this year in fantasy.
Nah, he's definitely going to be a kick returner because he definitely got an honorable mention when he was in college. because he had 24 kick returns with 513 yards. That's nothing to be shy about.
Man. So
I think he's definitely going to be their big punt returner, their explosive thing, which is something they've lacked, and they're definitely going to need because, like I said earlier, the Broncos have a very hard league or a very hard conference that they're in.
And you know what, when a guy is the, you know, returning kicks or returning punts, that's usually an indication that they're not the guy in the offense because you don't run that guy back there. You know, once Tyreek Hill stopped returning punts, that's when he blew up as a receiver because they knew they didn't want to expose him that way. So I think you're right. If Hamler is the guy back in the back, you know, returning kicks, yeah, he's nothing more than a stash.
And that's great news for Jerry Jeudy. It makes you want to feel like, all right, they really want to make sure Jeudy lasts longer than just any other rookie wide receiver. They want to stick him straight up in the offense, not on the special teams.
No, I think he's a guy to watch. I'm fired up about the Broncos. I think there's going to be some value had in that offense.
Yep.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. You know, another interesting pick. I think to me, he's one of the most interesting players in this, one of the most interesting prospects / physical specimens, Chase Claypool, going number 49 to the Steelers, 6'4", 238, almost the exact same measurements as Megatron, Calvin Johnson, and also ran a 4'4", 240. And just like Calvin Johnson did, could we be looking at another Megatron, guys?
Hey, well, that'd be nice. We miss Megatron.
Yeah, this guy, he is huge. He's a physical specimen. He's got that size and length that just overwhelms defenders. And he's going to a team that, I mean, I love this. I really don't love the Steelers, but I mean, they need someone on that team to start dominating because last year they were just horrible. It looked like they're tanking just to pick up players.
Well, their defense carried them last year. And it was all because of Big Ben. Once Big Ben went down, that's basically their whole season went down the toilet. And basically, Mike Tomlin did a great job coaching up the defense just to get them to have a shot at the playoffs. So they're going to be very interesting. But the incredible thing is this is a wide receiver factory. I mean, I was looking back. Antonio Brown, Emmanuel Sanders, Mike Wallace, Martavis Bryant, Juju Smith-Schuster, all of them excelled in Pittsburgh. Their coaching staff definitely knows how to bring in the receivers and develop them. And they've already talked about the fact that Chase Claypool is going to be a receiver. There was talk, you know, some of the scouts talked about him possibly moving to tight ends. No, the coaching staff already said, we're looking at him as a receiver. So I think he's a guy to watch. You know, our cousin Jose, the big Steelers fan, Jose Lopez, all right. But we're not letting you draft him.
Someone's going to take him. Yeah, I'm high on Chase Claypool too. Again, 6'4", 238. And again, like you said, you know, just like, you know, tailback you over here at Georgia, I think the Steelers are a wide receiver country. You know, they've developed some of the great ones over the year. So, you know, I think Chase Claypool has a great opportunity, and I think he'll put up some big numbers. If not early, definitely later.
Yeah, I think I'm going to really keep an eye on Big Ben's health, because if he gets back to where he was 2 years ago, and Juju, I think, will be a bounce back guy. And
hopefully, yeah.
Right. Claypool could be a guy to keep an eye on as the number two guy, because that'll be fun. Plus, I've always got a soft spot in my heart for Notre Dame. You know, maybe it's all that Catholic guilt that all my mom and all the tias gave us.
Who was the last Notre Dame player that really stuck in the NFL?
Tim Brown.
That's way too long. I was thinking of who was the linebacker that played for the Chargers? Tau, something like that.
Oh yeah, Manti Te'o.
There you go, Manti Te'o. The Heisman hopeful.
Yeah,
so good for Notre Dame. I think Chase Claypool's an awesome pick. He's gonna be exciting to watch.
Yep,
no, I think he's gonna be fun. I mean, there's so many receivers. We only picked a handful of them. We got a little bit. We went into more depth on several other receivers. I think we went all the way through the fourth round on guys who could have an impact, and some guys there at the end. There is a guy named Juwan Jennings, and I just wanted to give him a shout out because he's almost a Juan. Well, he's got a Juan in the league.
There you go. So close.
Yeah, he went to the 49ers with pick number 217. Man, we almost got a Juan. Hey, you know, that'll be good. That'll be good. And not kickers.
There we go. One of these days.
Awesome. All right, Primo, that's it for this week. That's it for our show. Next week, we'll start going twice a week. And we're going to go start off with our rankings of quarterbacks. So a little more familiar faces. I wonder how far Patrick Mahomes is going to fall before we get to him. I don't think it's going to be a very long wait.
Not far.
So be ready to see who we have as numero uno. So thanks again to our friends at Anchor.fm for being our hosting network and for making sure our independent podcast gets out into the El Mundo. Check out more rookie receivers at our FamiliaFFB.com website. And also don't forget to find us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB, as well as on our Facebook page. Remember, everybody, somos todos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Be safe. Take care.